There is no doubt that there are times when our world is attacked. That's today's message. Let's gain biblical perspective from Dr. Wilton. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching from Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today, as he talks about when our world is attacked, we gain insight on the resources we have to not just resist, but to fight back, and to see how God is going to give us the strength to move through, to move forward, to win, but perhaps in a different way. You know, Jesus came to redefine the win. And again, we'll gain more insight all about that from Dr. Don Wilton today. Know that we're here for you as well. We'd love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
You see, many of our most faithful, God-fearing people are under attack. I know some of the most wonderful Christian ladies that I have ever been around who have gone through the most horrendous attacks in their marriages that you could ever imagine, that have ended up in all kinds of pain and hurt and who knows what. I've met godly men who have served the Lord, who are faithful, who pursue after the things of God, who do their very best to please the Lord, but are under constant attack. I've met business people who honor the Lord in their business practices and in their lives, and they try to run their affairs in a manner that would be pleasing to the Lord, but their businesses are under attack. I've met some young people, some teenagers who love the Lord Jesus Christ and they've honored Him. I've met people who have made commitments to true love waits and to a life of purity and holiness, and yet, despite these things, they've come under increasing attack. I know of many people who love the Lord. You can find them, they're always there, they're faithful, they tithe, they give, they go on mission trips, they serve others. They seem to know no limit to giving, and yet they're afflicted in their physical well-being. They're suffering with cancers and with heart disease and even with things like depression and many other things. I'm not trying to explain to you every circumstance today, but I want to speak to you today. Those of you that are faithful, those of you that love the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to speak to those parents today that you, by God's grace, no, you're not perfect, none of us are perfect, but you've done everything that you know to bring up your son, your daughter, in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, but your son, your daughter has just gone wild, and you've got a heavy heart, and there's bad language and bad attitude, and they just ripping up the sanctity of your home and your life, and it's just a constant barrage, and you've got every good reason to say, Lord, here I am. I'm serving you and I'm living for you, and look at my marriage and look at my children or look at my business, or why am I afflicted like this? I want to speak to you today on when your world is attacked. Now, we're going to be looking at Job, and you might want to open your Bibles to Job chapter 1. But while you're opening your Bible to Job and the first chapter, I want to give you five reasons that God gives to us as to why godly people suffer. Now, I'm not preaching on this morning. But as I was studying this subject, God began to show me these things. So I promise you I'm going to come back and preach on these five things, and it'll probably be at least a five-month series if I know myself, because this is a huge subject. But I just want to give them to you like bullets. Here's five reasons why godly people suffer. By the way, I've got passages of Scripture for every one of these. It's not just something I'm saying. Number one reason, sin in the life of a believer. Why do godly people suffer? Number one, sin. Second reason, for purposes of chastening. God wants to discipline us. He wants to build us up. He wants to tell us something, chastening. Number three reason, the third reason that God's word gives to us is strengthening. God wants to make you stronger. You're a godly person. He wants to make you stronger. Number four, revelation. Revelation. What revelation? Revelation is not about you and me. It's about God. Why do godly people suffer? The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, the book of Job, many other places, that his purpose is to reveal his character through us. We become the channel by which God makes himself known to us. You with me? That's revelation. He reveals himself to us. Number five, you might chuckle about it. Here's the fifth reason why godly people suffer. No earthly reason. You got it. No earthly reason. Now, I've got to say that to you, and you're going to understand why in just a moment, folks. No earthly reason. On this earth, you will never know the reason why you've had to suffer. You can go and plow field, you can climb a mountain, you can hang from a tree, you can study every book you've ever known, listen to every message you've ever preached. You will never get an earthly reason as to why you've had to go through what you're going through. You just got to trust God. Now, let me tell you, the book of Job is exactly along those lines. A conversation took place up in the heavens, Bible tells us, between Satan, the angels, and God. This conversation took place. Job knew nothing about this conversation. He wasn't there. He wasn't invited to the table. And here's Job, this godly man, going through all this affliction and having to understand and explain his affliction as a godly person from the perspective of his own human ignorance. Now watch this, folks. It's one thing when I love the Lord and I go through something and I can explain it in some way, or God gives me the reason, but it's another thing when I've got to try and explain it from the perspective of my own human ignorance and lack of understanding. Where does that leave me? That leaves me with only my faith, which is where God wants me to be. Folks, that's why the just live by faith. That's why we walk by what? By faith, not by sight. That's what it is. That's the name of the game. I love it when people say to me, "What is your faith?" My faith is trusting in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a religious person. I'm a man of deep and abiding. All say it with me. Deep and abiding. You got it. Don't ask me if I got religion. I don't got no religion. I'm not a religious person. Folks, religious people kill. Religious people hate. Religious people do traditions. Religious people follow rituals and sacrifices. Religious people recite prayers. I'm not a reciter. I'm not a ritualistic person. I don't do things out of rote. I'm a man of faith. That means I trust God. Job couldn't explain these things. Now, what does that leave us with, folks? When there is no rational or theological explanation for the attack that you're undergoing, it leaves you with one thing. Faith. Trust God. Trust God. It's hard for us to understand that. I want to read to you just a few quick verses here just to contextualize this. By the way, I rarely need to read to you chapters 1 through chapter 42. All those in favor of me not reading 42 chapters, would you know? All right, I'm just going to give you just a little hint here from the scripture, okay? Look at Job chapter 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright, and he feared God and shunned evil. Look at verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where in the world do you think you've come from?" Satan answered, from roaming through the earth, just visiting those people in Spartanburg. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Now watch what Satan does. He begins to mock and he says, "What? Excuse me? You think he's so upright and blameless? Why don't you take away from Job the things that you have given him and blessed him with? Then you will see what kind of man he is and what kind of God you are. You deprive a man of the things that he holds most dear to himself, and I'll show you a man who'll spit in the face of God." Only reason Job believes in you, Satan said, is because of what he can get from you. So what happened, folks? Verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and he went back to the earth. And from chapter 1 through chapter 42, he afflicts this righteous man and takes every blessing away from him. And this man had done nothing wrong. I'm going to give you 8 words to help you to understand when your world is under attack. Word number 1 is the word pleasure. In verse 1 and again in verse 8 and right throughout, God affirms that Job was a man who brought him great pleasure. Do you know that God pleasures in the behavior of those who love him? Do you know that you can please the heart of God? And by the way, if you're wondering what qualifies as the means by which we can pleasure God, Bible tells us in chapter 1, number 1, the Bible says that he was blameless. Number 2, he was upright. By the way, upright in character as opposed to bent and crooked and unethical and immoral. He was upright. He was an upright person. Folks, I can point to so many. This has got nothing to do with us. It's Christ in us. Our blamelessness is because of Jesus Christ by His Spirit who dwells in us. Our uprightness is not because of us, it's because of Christ in us.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment. But that concept from Dr. Don, our blamelessness is because of Jesus, our uprightness, not because of us, but because of Christ in us. If we can embrace that and understand that truth, it will change. It will quiet the voices, even our own self-condemnation. When we look in the mirror and go, "But I know what I've done. I know what I've thought. I know what I..." It doesn't matter. The love of God is using even this radio broadcast, this podcast, however you're listening to us right now, to let you know He loves you and has a great plan for your life. If you'd like to talk or pray with someone, know that we're here online at tewonline.org. or 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Bible says that he feared God. By the way, that word there, fear God, is not, "Oh, I'm afraid of God." That's not what it means. A person who fears God believes with all of their heart, "Don't mess with God." That's what it means to fear God. Don't mess with him. God's not a plaything. God's not some big pappy sitting up in the sky smoking a cigarette. He's not some just dear old grandfather who pats us on the shoulder. Don't mess with God. He feared God. He shunned evil. He was a family man. I love the story about his family here. Look at verse 4. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to come and fellowship with them. Isn't that a great picture? I love that. He was a great family man, and his children were following in that tradition. He was a worshiper. The Bible tells us this man knew what it was to worship the Lord and to sacrifice every morning and do what was necessary to worship the Lord. He was an intercessor. Bible says he interceded on behalf of his children just in case they had sinned. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It's like when your mama comes in and says, son, I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for my son right now that you just forgive him and that you just forgive him for his sin. Mama, why are you praying that? I haven't even done anything. No, this is just in case you do it. I have a friend who sailed on a ship from Cape Town to Southampton, England. Four little boys, all on the mission field today, the Sibbehagen boys. And their father, as they began to leave to sail, and before they had left the harbor in Cape Town, South Africa, he got all four of his little boys out. And he said, come here. He took them into a room and he gave them all a jolly good spanking, a hiding. They were all weeping. Daddy, what are you doing? He just spanked all four of them as they were about to embark on this great adventure. And then he took them out of their cabin and he walked out. He said, you see that line all the way around the deck? He said, one of you boys ever step over that line, this is what you're going to get. He said, for that entire two-week journey, not one of his sons ever stepped over the line because they knew what they would get. Now, folks, watch this. This man pleasured God. That's word number one. Word number two is presentation in verse 6. When your world is attacked, the second word that you need to think about is this matter of presentation. In verse 6, the Bible says there was a meeting between three parties. Number one, God's angels. Number two, God himself. And number three, for reasons unknown, Satan showed up. Now, some of you are going to look at me and say to me, Pastor, help us to explain why this meeting took place. I can't do that. There is not a single explanation as to why God allowed this meeting to take place in the heavens. But one thing I do know was when this presentation was made, Job had no idea that it was going on. So I'm just going to ask a question that not one of us have got an answer to. When your world is attacked, is it possible that a presentation has been made? I don't know. Job didn't know. You don't know. If you knew the presentation, you would understand the answer to the question why. And if you can answer the question why, you can eliminate faith from the exercise of your daily life. God doesn't want us to know why. But what he does want us to know in terms of Job is that a presentation was made between the angels, God, and Satan. I want you to note the third word here. Interesting word, presence. When your world is attacked, I want you to think of these words. Number one, pleasure. This man walked uprightly in the eyes of God. Number two, presentation. There was a meeting. Number three, the word presence. From verse 6 following, God was present. I love that. That is profound, folks. Presence. Number one, pleasure. Number two, presentation. Number three, presence. Number four, permission. That word's got to be put in here in verse 12, verse 11 and verse 12. God gave Satan permission to afflict this righteous man. Now, once again, folks, I have the hardest time trying to explain that to you. In fact, it bothers me in my human understanding. And I can't imagine if I was the one going through the affliction, how much that would bother me. Accepting the fact that Job did not know that God had given Satan permission. He wasn't a party to that conversation. But God gave him permission. God allowed this to happen. Now, we know, because we know the book of Job, that there were two fundamental purposes. Number one, he gave him permission to test the man. Number two, he gave Satan permission to reveal God's character. Both of those dynamics were accomplished in the message of Job, the testing of the man called Job who stood firm. Number two, the revelation or the revealing of the character of God despite his own human ignorance, his own inability to fully understand or to express or to explain the pain that he was enduring at the time. Word number five is the word power. Once you get to verse 12, there is unleashed a satanic power that most of us just seem to have great difficulty in understanding. Don't underestimate the power of Satan. You see, folks, when you come under attack, you cannot come to grips with this without understanding this issue of satanic power. Here's God in an inexplicable way. We've got all these words, a man in whom God found great pleasure. This presentation that took place between the angels and Satan and God. The presence, continual abiding presence of God. God giving Satan permission. But Satan going and taking that permission and unleashing his power. In this case, even on the righteous. Even on the righteous. But there's another word, and that's the word persistence. I love this. When you go to verse 20 through 22, in chapter 1, the Bible says that this Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Persistence. This was a prayer of persistence. Here's a man, righteous. God could count on him. He was upstanding. He shunned evil. He was a worshiper and an interceder. But his world was attacked. Word number six, persistence. You want a description of a persistent prayer? Here it is. Number one, submission. A persistent prayer is submissive. Submission. He got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Number two, acceptance. Naked I came to my mother's womb and naked I'll leave. I am nothing. I accept my position in the presence of a mighty God. Number three, acknowledgement. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Number four, praise. May the name of the Lord be praised. Number five, humility. Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. I submit to you that when your world is attacked, you got to think of persistence. It'll help you and encourage you. Number seven, prayer. Well, if you go to chapter 42, flip over 42 chapters, get to chapter 42, the bookend of Job's horrendous experience. In Job chapter 42, we find incorporated here not a prayer of persistence, but a prayer of thankfulness, a prayer of thanksgiving. Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things." He says in verse 3, he said, "Surely I spoke of the things that I did not understand." And he went on and he prayed. And in verse 10, after Job had prayed for his friends, we find an incredible prayer of thanksgiving. This in the context of all that he's gone through. Kind of reminds me of the 10 lepers that were healed by our Lord. And just one came back and said thank you to him. But you know what the eighth word is? It's the word prosperity. It's the word prosperity. The Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 42 that the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had had before. Look at verse 12. I love verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first part. Has anybody ever said to you, "The best is yet to be"? Has anybody ever suggested to you that today is the first day of the rest of your life? I want to say a special word to someone right now. You are a righteous person, not because of yourself, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been faithful, and you're afflicted. Your world is under attack. Your business, you got never-ending headaches. Your marriage is on the rocks. Your children are giving you more grief than you could possibly imagine. Your buildings are coming tumbling down. Watch this, folks. When your world is under attack, when there's no rational explanation, there's no theological explanation, trust God.
Such great truth, and you do not have to do it alone. Dr. Don will be quick to remind you that God has called us to encourage you. That's why we are the Encouraging Word. The body of Christ is built to encourage us in every single step, even when we feel like we're under attack. We're here at 866-899-WORD, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day to talk and pray at 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. But before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
If God stirred your heart and you've made a decision, maybe today is the course correction you know you need. We would love to pray you through the next. Matter of fact, Dr. Don has wonderful resources for you. If you just gave your life to Jesus Christ or rededicated your life, let us put them in your hands. Call us at 866-899-9673. We'd love to put that as part of the next step of our journey together. 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. You might want to take a look at this wonderful Joni Erickson Tata resource. Liz will tell you all about it.
What is God calling you to do with your life? Are you living a life that leads to nothing? Do you have peace? Have you given your life to Jesus? Jesus will change you. It's not too late to be on mission for God. With your gift of support to the Encouraging Word this month, you will receive Dr. Wilton's messages entitled Touching Jesus. Messages include Pray With This In Mind, Seven Critical Needs, The Impossible Prayer, and Touching Jesus. These messages on CD or DVD will be sent to you for a gift of $20 or more in support of the Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request Dr. Wilton's sermons Touching Jesus. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
As we wrap things up for today's edition, we look ahead to the Wednesday message from the pastor called When Your Walk Takes a Detour. You know, sometimes our walk not only takes a detour, but our walk turns into a crawl. You're not alone. Please know we're here for you 24 hours a day, 866-899-WORD. We'll connect you with one of us. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org.